to those things. Well, we're looking here this month at the Christmas formula. The Christmas formula, specifically this morning, the Christmas formula, the God who is man. And we'll look every week as we go through this. But we're going to look at this because a formula is some things that are joined together to make an answer, right? To give us an equation that gives us an answer. And this morning we're looking, and I want you to understand, consumerism is not why we celebrate Christmas. Not trees, not gifts, not any of those things, amen? We look at Christmas and we don't think about movies, we don't think about Hallmark cards, we don't think about all these things as Christians. They may come with it, but we look at Christ. And so we want to see this Christmas formula this morning. Isaiah chapter 43, Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Back to December, so the words are going to appear on your screen this morning. So if you did not carry your physical Bible, they're there. Or if you just prefer to look at it this way, they will prefer show up on the screens this morning. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. If you're able, would you stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word this morning? Isaiah 43 and verse 10. We look here in our Bibles and we see the word of God says to us this. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd hide me behind your cross now. Lord, use me as your earthen vessel to explain this word, to see the formula, why we celebrate Christmas, what has added together to bring us to this day. It's not December 25th, it's not Christmas time, but it is your word that brings us to this understanding that this formula has brought us the God who is man, and that can be none other than Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you'd help us with this now. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Idol worship was running rampant as Isaiah is prophesying this. And God is sure to remind the children of Israel and all people that there are no other gods. It's him and him alone. Idol worship can do nothing as a witness because their gods can do nothing as a witness. False gods don't have any witnesses because they don't exist. But God tells the children of Israel, ye are my witnesses. You know what I've done, how I brought you across the Red Sea, how I brought you across the Jordan into this land, the miracles and the prophets that I've given you. And you're my witnesses. You are a group of people who are testifying of exactly who I am and that there's no other. Does anybody understand that this morning? That we are to testify that we are his witnesses and to testify of God. God says here, there is no other God. There are no junior gods. There are but one God. Now we understand that to be God in three persons as Trinitarians. Genesis 1:1. The word here in Genesis 1:1 for God is Elohim. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. The word Elohim in the Hebrew is plural. It means a multiplicity of gods. But it doesn't mean that there's many gods. What it means for us is that there's God in three persons. That there's Father, there's Son, and there's what? Holy Ghost. And so we see this word in Genesis 1, but God uses a different word here in Isaiah. Jehovah's Witnesses took their title from Isaiah 43, 10 and 11, these witnesses, but it proves their doctrine about Jesus is wrong, which means their entire theology and entire so-called church is wrong. This is why they don't celebrate Christmas, because they don't believe that Christ is God. They don't believe that Christ, they believe that some might believe he's a junior God, most just believe he's the Son of God, but he's not equal with God, and Jesus even found it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus says in John 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. Jesus ultimately confirms through the New Testament that he is God, but here in the Old Testament, the verses that they use to build an entire cult, they got wrong, because Genesis 1:1 says Elohim, plural, but here, the word for God is just El. And it means almighty. It means there's but one deity, that there's one figure. And throughout the Bible, when we see that, It can be used of any deity, but when God says there is no other God, either Christ is his son or he's nothing at all, according to the rest of the Bible. Here's the Christmas formula and how we get to the result. Isn't Christmas time fun? And we love it. Your pastor's buddy, the elf, I like Christmas. I'm a minimalist, and so I don't like to do too much decorating because I like to keep the focus on the cross and on the things of Jesus. But listen, if you have a tree or you do those things, no big deal. That's fine. Obviously, we have trees here in the church, but we want to keep the main thing the main thing. You know, we have got so much consumerism in our culture and our society that they even have, some of you probably went out Black Friday shopping, right? And it's so crazy. It's like they keep rushing that thing, and now it's Cyber Monday and all these things. I'll tell you how bad consumerism. When my daughter Savea was a little girl, back when Toys R Us was a thing still, she's like, can we go to Toys R Us today? I said, girl, we're not going to Toys R Us today. It's Black Friday. We're not going to deal with all that mess and all that stuff. We're not going out on Black Friday. And she said, she was 3 or 4 years old, she said, you're black. I said, wait a minute, I don't know how to feel about that. She thought that meant that we were allowed to go, I guess. I don't know. Who's raising this child? I don't know. Racist? I don't know. What? I didn't know how to feel about that. Even 3 or 4 year old children are wrapped up in consumerism, but we know the formula. And over this month, we're going to look at the formula leading us to December 22nd on why we celebrate the formula. You know, I really don't like math. I don't like equations. I don't like chemistry. Brother Carter, Brother AJ, these chemists, they can give you all kinds of formulas and they can give you formulaic definitions, and I can't do that. But what I do know is that these two natures, the God and the man that smack into one at the same time, this hypostatic union, Jesus Christ, this is why we celebrate Christmas. And so we're going to look this morning at the man who was God, the God that is man. And number one, the Bible teaches us the reason why we celebrate Christmas is because there is no other God. We don't celebrate Hanukkah. We don't celebrate any other religion or any other thing around Christmas time. We celebrate Christmas because we believe that Christ was born. Whether we believe he was born in December or the 25th, doesn't matter. But we're celebrating the memorial, the birthday of Jesus Christ coming to earth. There in verse 10, the Bible is very clear that God, who is this? Well, the Bible is very clear. He says, I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. He says, it doesn't matter what you do or what people come up with. It doesn't matter if they come up with, somebody says, I had a dream, I had a vision, and there was an angel that came and talked to me, and there's another God. Nonsense. Because thousands of years ago, God completely told us, there is no other, remember, the word is El, there is no other almighty power. There is no other. There's no other God. Look at 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6. We're looking to see here, how does this formula work? But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom all are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Look at James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Even the devil believes that there's only one God. I want you to think about that for a moment. In idolatry, in idol worship, sometimes we have these little g gods we speak of, but in the pagan society that was going on in the time of the New Testament and the Old Testament, God's saying, even the devil believes that there's only one God, but some of you believe in Ashtaroth and Baal, and some of you believe in Diana and all these different Hercules and Zeus, and he's like, even the dirty old devil knows there's only one God. Now, I want you to think about that. We got Christians all over the world today that are celebrating gods that are not gods. And even the old devil realizes there is no sport god. Even the old devil realizes there is no consumer god. Even the old devil knows there is no time god. Even the old devil knows there is no family god. Even the old devil knows there is no merchandise god. Even the old devil knows there is no other religion that actually means anything, that there is no Allah, that there is no Buddha. Even the devil knows that this morning. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. You think God's trying to prove a point here? There is no other God. It's one of the commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's El. It's just deity. It means you're not going to put anything in my place, because if you do put anything in my place, you know what it is? It's nothing. You might as well be an atheist, because you're worshiping nothing, because there is no God formed before or after me. There's nothing. 1 Timothy 1 and 17. now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Hey, you can go out and serve the God of consumerism. You can go out and serve the God of sports, but they're not wise. Be honor and glory forever and ever, and amen, and they're not worthy to be worshipped. Galatians 3:20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. See, the mediator, Christ Jesus, he mediates for all of us, but there's only one God. There's only one who sits on the throne. I want you to see this morning. Number two, there's no other Lord. There's no other God. We're building together. We're adding a formula. I know, I don't really like algebra, but let's just say this. We have an X, a Y, and a Z, and we're solving for W or something like that. Number two, the second variable, there's no other Lord. In verse 11, you see this. God says there's no other God, but he also says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. What does this mean to us? It's Yahshua. It's Jehovah in this Old Testament Hebrew. It means Lord, self-existing, eternal one. Jehovah, his Jewish national name. It's one of the reasons why we understand that Jesus is a Jew, that Jehovah had to come from the lineage of Jews, and so he did on both sides of his family, but coming through the lineage of David, the lion of the tribe of Judah, he is a Jew, and so he is Jehovah God. It's Kyrios, the word for Lord in the New Testament. It's a title, and it means the one with supreme authority. Now, in Britain, you can be a lord, and that's not wrong, because you can be somebody that's just a respected title. You can be Lord Paul McCartney or Lord Randy Bowles. But there's only one Lord. Amen. That's Jehovah God. I'm a little excited because I like understanding that Jesus is the only one. I think we struggle with that in our culture today, because I think sometimes it doesn't have to be consumerism or materialism. Sometimes you make yourself the Lord. Either you're sitting on the throne of your heart or Jesus is. And whoever's sitting on the throne at that present moment, that's who you've made Lord. So when you decide to do something opposite of the will of God, what you're saying is, no, I'm the Lord, because what does it mean? It means I'm the supreme authority. A lot of Christians are walking around being the Lord of their life, being the supreme authority of their life, not letting go and letting God truly, not being still and knowing that he's God truly. And we must understand, in order to celebrate Christmas, we must understand that he is the Lord. He is the supreme authority, and that's why we celebrate. I'm glad that Jesus is the supreme authority. Let's talk about supreme authority for a moment. When's the last time you walked on water? When's the last time you healed a blind eye? If you got glasses on, be quiet. When's the last time you took someone like our dear brother Steve Chapman and stretched his leg out and made it whole again? You can't, and you haven't. And so even this charismatic fairy tale world of we can do healing and we have power and we have ability, these are seducing devilish spirits, because even those people in the charismatic world don't understand that there's just one God and he's the only one that can do those things. He didn't have you out here talking a whole bunch of gibberish and nonsense, because the Lord says this and the Lord says that and the Lord spoke through his word, and there's no reason to continue on in jibber jabber or fake healing or any of those things. He says, hey, these things are going to happen in the last days. People are going to do this. But you know why? Because people want supreme authority. People want to be in charge. And the Bible says, but there's one Lord. I am the Lord. It's definitive, isn't it? Let's look and see who this Lord is. There's no other Lord. Zechariah 14:9. And the Lord shall be king over the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. We're talking millennial kingdom. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. He says, you can't be the supreme authority, because you don't have any supreme authority. You don't have any supreme abilities. You don't have any supreme power. You don't have any supreme thoughts. You don't have any supreme word. I am him, and there's nothing else. You can be a graven image, friend. You can build yourself up to be this graven image. You know what it means? Hollow. You can be nothing, but make yourself think that you're something. Ephesians 4 and 5, you probably know this one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. How many Lords are there? There's one. How many faiths are there? One. You know what that faith is? Belief in Jesus Christ, in Christ alone, that he's the Son of God, the Son of Man, that he was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross, that he was buried in that 3 days, he rose again from the grave. That's the one Lord, that's the one faith. And you know what the one baptism is? It's believer's baptism. It's not baptism by fire or baptism by the Holy Spirit. It's baptism by water after you've been saved. Believer's baptism as a picture, death, burial, resurrection of Christ. There's just one. It's exclusive to that. That's it. If it wasn't true, God wouldn't have wrote it over and over and over again. Then I'm the one. Look at Revelation 1 and verse 8. There's one Lord. I am Alpha and Omega. You know what that's like saying for us? That's the Greek last, first and last letter of their alphabet. That's like saying I'm the A through Z. That's me. Ain't no other letters. Now, if you got any other letters, you're not speaking English. Because A through Z is all we get. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty, the supreme power, El, the only God. Jesus is the only Lord. So when they came to him and said, Lord, it wasn't like when they were saying Lord to the British lords or lords of a monarchy. When they were coming to Jesus and someone really knew who Jesus was, they're saying, Lord, they're saying, you have all the power. You're the supreme authority. Go back and read your New Testament. A lot of times when they came to him, sometimes the Jewish people called him master or a rabbi. But when somebody came seeking a miracle, they said, Lord. They didn't want the teacher. They didn't want the listen, no offense. They didn't want the preacher or the Sunday school teacher. They wanted God. They wanted the Lord, the one with supreme authority, supreme power. They wanted Kyrios. They wanted the one. And listen, it's only that title for this is only given to Christ in the Bible because God says there is no other God. You know why I celebrate Christmas? You know what the formula is adding up to? I celebrate it because he is the Lord. Who else had the supreme authority to put himself into a woman, be born of a virgin? Just imagine. Can we talk about it for a moment? Just imagine someone having the authority to say, you know what, I think I'm going to go into this family lineage and I'm just going to mess up everything for a second here. I'm going to mess up the entire world. They're not going to know. Wait till they get a load of me, he says. He says, let me put my seed in this virginal young girl. Got Mary and Joseph just tripping. She said, oh, Lord, okay. And then Joseph walking around like, I'm about to divorce her. She out there cheating. I can't believe she acting like that. Mary want to act like that. I can't believe she's pregnant. I know I didn't touch her. Who baby is it, Mary? And Mary's over there, Joey, Joey. It wasn't me, Joey, Joey. And he's like, and the angel has to come down. I'm like, Joseph, don't worry. This baby's of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine Joseph be like, yeah, like, you know, some of us would be like, yeah, sound good, don't it? Sound good. We want to be on Maury Povich, any detective show, cheaters. We want everybody to come out. We're going to need DNA. We're going to need some proof and some evidence. But he's like, fear not. He's like, wait a minute. He's like, go ahead and take her, be your wife, raise him up like he's your own, because this baby is the Lord. He's the supreme authority. Messed up everything. Joseph's like, okay. Okay. Let me take him and raise him up like he's my own. He must have done a pretty good job because they noticed Jesus as the carpenter's son, which was Joseph's profession. So he must have raised him up hand by hand, hand in hand, except for that one time they lost him. But other than that, they taken him and he's crafting and show him how to do things and must have done a pretty good job. Joseph took it on himself. And Mary, she just stayed back. She pondered all these things in her heart. You know, Mary was sitting there going, man, they ain't going to believe this story. Wait till they're going to be calling me all kinds of stuff out here in the streets. You know what? If you read between the lines in the New Testament, they were like, what? From Galilee? These nasty Nazarene people? Are you kidding me? They just thought she was just, listen to me, I say this politely, they thought she was some harlot. They say, hold on, how? She got on her wedding dress, it don't fit. She's 6-7 months pregnant. What happened here? And Joseph's like, it's okay, Mary, calm down. We know it's of God. You ever have one of those moments in your life where people think something about you, but you know it's of God, and everybody's talking about you, but you're like, it's okay. It's of God. You know, I could just see it right now. They said that's why it was a silent night, because Joseph had her walking all the way out there, and she wasn't speaking to him. I don't know if that's true or not, but you know, Joseph was trying to calm her down. He's like, baby, it's okay. She's like, no. Are you okay? Yes. Mary, okay? Mm-hmm. Baby, what can I do? Nothing, I'm fine. Would you like to get something to eat? No. Baby, what can I do? You know, Joseph got real, real sentimental with it. He's like, God told us to do this. She's like, I know. You know, Joseph's like, Lord, really? This is what you did? You gave me this, and then this woman, she's hard-headed, she's stubborn, everything else. They said she was a teenager. You ever met teenage girls? Joseph is like, oh, God, how did you saddle me with this situation? He says, because this is the Lord. We say, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Because Christmas means that inside of humanity came supreme authority in one man's body. Before that time, think about how supreme authority came to Israel. It came through signs and wonders. And so they would only see signs and wonders if Moses lifts his staff and then all of a sudden the Red Sea parts. If Moses' hands are lifted, then they begin to win the fight. If they go to Jordan the priests walk in and put their feet in the Jordan and it dries up so they can walk over on dry land, they only see it when a chariot of fire gets caught up with Elijah in it. They only see it when these miracles or when a handwriting comes on the wall, many, many tekel upharsin. They only see it in signs and wonders. And God says, but hold on, I'm going to bring supreme authority in one man for all time, the Alpha and the Omega, and this one man is God, the God who is man, and he can do everything. That's a good reason to celebrate Christmas. Amen. Makes wrapping paper seem kind of silly, doesn't it? Makes gingerbread houses, though delicious, seem a little silly, doesn't it? Now, again, I'm not hating on any of those things. I'm just saying when we're keeping the formula of why we do it, we got to remember why the main thing is the main thing. He's the Lord. I don't want any other Lord. I don't want anybody else. If you can't do what Jesus did, if you can't cause a whole situation, even his parents, to be confused. See, when you have supreme authority, it's going to cause some problems. Now listen, we're not going to be political, but we're going to be honest. This is why people get so weirded out about democracy. Because democracy says the people have the supreme authority. Now if you've been living more than 2 days, you know we get the vote and that's like democracy 2024. And you'd be like, I didn't get none of the people I wanted to win, Lord. My democracy doesn't seem like it's a good thing. It doesn't seem like it's winning. You know, democracy, we're like, we fought the British and we get this democracy. But you got to remember, George Washington had the ability to be king. He just chose not to. He said, no, we don't need another monarch, because George Washington was wise enough to say, we overthrew this monarch. What y'all going to do to me? We go on and we get a little further on in the presidents and you find out, is there really a democracy? Is it truly the people that are employing the people? Well, it gets set up to where, honestly, they say vote, and I believe in voting. They say your voice is heard. But when's the last time you got to talk to somebody and tell them how you felt? Now, I know some of you are old school. You've written a strongly worded letter, mailed it to your congressman. My voice has been heard. But God said, you know what? Remember, we're witnesses of this. God said, I'm going to send me, the supreme authority. And what's cool about this is, God says, once I send myself, there may be monarchies and democracies on the earth, but if you're truly saved, the thing that's leading and guiding your life and principles is the theocracy of your heart. That God is the ruler and king, that he is the Lord and the only Lord of the conscience. That only what God says will you obey 100% of the time. And anything else that's opposed to the will of God, you'll turn down and sway and choose God anyway. That's exactly what Joseph and Mary did. They went, I mean, Joseph could have said, he thought to publicly give her a writ of divorcement. And God came in and says, no, Joseph, listen, it's going to be okay. Now, he got a sign, I get this. But the ultimate sign was going to be Emmanuel, God's going to be with us. And Joseph said, okay, God, I believe you. You say, well, that'd be easy if you got a sign. Well, you think so, but the children of Israel got lots of signs and just kept on disobeying. The children of... Literally, these people that were 20 and under saw the earth open up and swallow up thousands of people. They get on the other side of the Jordan and just start acting ridiculous all over again. And you'll say, well, if I saw those signs, I would have done right. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. It's what's called after you get saved. Some people believe in salvation, and once you're saved, they call it lordship salvation, that you're never going to sin again. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. I'll attest to you. I sin a lot less than I used to, but I still got my days. You say, well, you know, after I got saved, I've lived a really good life. Cool. But if there was ever a time where you chose to be the supreme authority over Jesus, then you sinned. because he's the Lord. He's the supreme authority. But then I like this third part of this formula, the God who is man, is that there's no other Savior. Look what it says there in verse 11. And beside me, there is no Savior. There is no Savior. The word Savior here, Yash, is to be free or secure, help or support or deliver. In the New Testament, we only get one word for it, soteria, and it is to be a defender, an avenger, the rescuer, I like this, a victor. But soteria in the New Testament also only relates to one thing. It means the defender, avenger, rescuer, victor, or deliverer that is God. That there is no Savior in a politician. There is no Savior in a pope. There is no Savior in a denomination. There is no Savior in any type of force or army or political system, that there's only one Savior. Now, if we're looking at our Bible, who does this Savior apply to? Well, you would all say Jesus, but do you know why? We're going to look at that as we close this morning. Who does this apply to? Who is this only Savior? When God wrote it 700 years before Emmanuel ever came to earth, when God wrote it there in Isaiah in 43 and verse 11, that there is no Savior, God had been saving the children of Israel. He'd been saving them from the beginning. He'd been saving them from different things and all this stuff. But God specifically embodied this in his son, Jesus Christ. Why we celebrate Christmas, he embodied it in one man, and it only means Christ. The word soter, where we get soteria, it is this salvation, this Savior. It only comes from one person. Philippians 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one. Who are we looking to? The author and finisher of our faith, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And there is no other. It's just Jesus Christ. Not Michael the archangel. It's not some other angel. It's not some other person. It's not some other religion. There's only one Savior, only one avenger, only one deliverer, only one way you and I can have victory and be freed from sin. And it comes by Jesus Christ alone. See, when I think about that, Christmas carols hit different for me. When you're singing, oh come, Emmanuel, come Emmanuel. See, these Jewish-born people were waiting for God to be with us because they were, remember what was happening when Jesus was born. Rome had complete domination of all the earth. The Jewish people are being basically enslaved and not able to do the things they want to do, and they don't have rightful, the true Jew didn't have rightful worship and sacrifices, and it had been dirtied up, and so they're saying, please, we need a Savior. Some of you this morning are looking for a Savior. I want you to be very careful. Don't be looking for the Savior of money. You might not be able to pay your bills this morning, but rather than sell your soul for a little bit of change, look to the Savior who can deliver you a sure victory that's not looking for repayment. Some of you will get yourself into debt looking to the Savior of credit. You'll have a 28% interest rate that you'll never be able to pay back, and you'll be enslaved, you'll be in debt, and then the rest of your time, you'll be looking for someone to save you out of that debt. And I got news for you. Biden's out of office. Ain't no more student loans. I'm not hating Democrat or Republican. I'm just saying, listen, I had to pay my student loans back. If you got student loan forgiveness, praise be to God for you and yours. I'm just telling you, that's over. They don't do that. When they start doing that, I said, where they do that at? Hold on, I'm going to go back. I need reparations. I need something. Somebody needs to pay me back on this. This is ridiculous. I'm not even hating. I'm just telling you, that's the only time it's ever happened. Democrat or Republican ain't nobody about to forgive your debt. Anybody here lived here long enough that you had to pay back your debt? Anybody lived here long enough you had to pay your mortgage off? Anybody lived long enough you had to pay a car off? I found out some people the other day, they were talking about they got 7-year car loans and their payment's $600, $700. I said, I don't know where they do that. My house payment ain't $600, $700. Like, I got to feed all these kids at my house, you know what I'm saying? They eat a lot of cereal. And so I wish I had a Bible reader in here. I can't be getting into debt. I'm in debt to my children. You know what I'm talking about? I don't need the government coming after me. I don't know no Sally Mae or Freddie Mac or Fannie Fees. I don't know none of them. I got Grayson, Xavier, Savay, and Jaleese. Amen. That's who coming after me every month. Sometimes they put a letter in the mail. They say, Daddy, you're in debt to us. I said, oh, Lord, the interest rate is 4 billion, zillion percent. I said, you're right. They say, because this is what they do. You know how it is. And some of you people that are in my stage of life get this. And some of you that are past my stage of life, you really get this. You're in debt because then they start talking about, well, we can't wait to have kids. Well, you going to get my kids for Christmas? You ain't had them yet. I'm in debt to my grandkids already that I don't have? The audacity. Savea said, I hope I'm a young aunt. I hope I have some aunts. I hope I have some nieces and nephews in the next couple of years. I'm like, are you going to pay for any of these crumb snatchers to Christmas? I can't wait to get them something. You don't got no job. The audacity. But see, some of you just can't wait to get into debt, and then you'll be looking for a savior. Jesus is the only savior. Some of you are looking for health saviors. You're looking for this doctor and for that doctor and for this way and for this thing and all these different medications and you want this and holistic and all that stuff. And that's all fine. But instead of using the Savior as the last response, look to him first. He's the beginning and the end. And so he's able to fix it. If you pray to him beforehand and say, God, I don't want this, he's able to say, you don't got to get it. And even if you get it in between, if somewhere between A and Z, let's say M, you get it, he's also able, before it's all over, to fix it. It's a pretty good God, isn't it? It's a pretty good Savior, isn't it? Look at 2 Timothy 1 and 10. Who does this apply to? There's only one Savior. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Emmanuel. When he was born into humanity, it's now made shown to us. We're witnesses of this morning, of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. I like that. He abolished death. Isn't it good to know this? Me and Pastor Steve were talking about this the other day. You know, he's sitting there and literally just had his leg cut off, and he's like, well, you know, it could always be worse. I'm like, and the lady in there, she's like, yeah, you're right about that. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, well, he's sitting here on dialysis. His leg just got cut off. And he's about to have another surgery. Like, this looked like rock bottom to me. And he's like, well, I'm still living, and my family's able to come up here. And we had Thanksgiving. They came up here Friday, and after my surgery, we had Thanksgiving. And I'm like, sometimes you learn things, you know, when something happens to somebody else. You're like, you know what? Because at the end of the day, Jesus may not have saved his leg, but he still has saved his life. Amen. He's like, death is abolished. So even if you lay up here at ICU and something happens, guess what? Death don't exist to Christians. It don't mean anything to us. The Bible says, don't weep and don't sorrow as those who have no hope. He said, if you die, you got a better existence. And me and Pastor Steve were talking about it. I said, you know what? It don't matter how you go into heaven, because you can go in halter maim, but at least you're going, baby. Come on now. And says, but then he does this. He doesn't just deliver us and save us from death, but he also has brought us life and immortality to light through the gospel. He says, he's given you an ability to witness and testify of the goodness of God. He's give you the ability to walk around and have a smile on your face, even when it's bad, even when it's hard, even when it doesn't seem like it's going very well, even when it seems like you should be crying. Sometimes you just be laughing and you just be smiling. Sometimes you just get excited about something. You don't even really know why you're excited, but you know that there's a God in heaven who is a Savior and that he gives victory. And when there's victory in Jesus, when can you be possibly losing? Now, I didn't want to bring it up this morning, but God has led me to say, regardless of whether you like the Ohio State Buckeyes or the Michigan Wolverines, hail to the victor one. Brother Brandon asked me how I felt about the game this morning, and I said, well, my mood is not dictated by the Buckeyes. Now, if the Bengals lose to the Steelers later, I'll be mad. However, it won't stop me from preaching at 5 o'clock, because the Bengals are not my savior. And thank God they're not my savior, because they've been awful most of my life. Amen. We wouldn't be a lot of victory and shouting to talk about. But there's this one that's sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. There's this one that's sitting there, and I just want you to think about what victory really means for a moment. I want you to think about how many things we celebrate. Think about how many times we celebrate a victory. Now, can I illustrate and be finished this morning? And then I'm going to use one more verse, and we're going to close out. We celebrate victory a lot, don't we, on earthly things. I know Christmas is his birth and not Easter, but Jesus coming into life, as you saw in that previous verse, him coming and being manifested, that's our witness, because if he was never born, then he could have never died for our sin. And if he wasn't born of a virgin, then he's not the one God that we know that he is. Then we could be Jehovah's Witnesses and say, well, he's just God's son, but he's not God, which doesn't even make sense, because if you're God's son, then you must be a God. But anyway, we celebrate victory a lot. Oh, I was looking at them kids this morning. It's funny. My little buddy Leo walked in. I said, oh, he's such a good boy. And Robin said, yeah, I didn't know about him at one time. I wasn't sure. It's like, dang, Miss Robin, he's only 5, man. Like, cut my man some slack. That's my dog. Brother Leo, I love Brother Leo. His voice cracks me up. He'll say, hi, Pastor. I say, what's up, Leo? Not much. I saw him at the grocery store with his babysitter one time. He's like, we're over here getting some hamburger helper. I gotta love him. But you know, 11, 12 years from now, Leo's gonna have a graduation, and we're gonna celebrate a victory. We're gonna say that little ornery blonde-haired boy that his mom wasn't too sure about, she wasn't sure if he was gonna make it, there's a victory because he's graduated from high school, and that's something we're gonna celebrate, and we're gonna give him cards, and we're gonna say, yay, Leo, and we're gonna clap, and somebody's gonna stand up and say, that's my baby, and then we're gonna celebrate a victory. We celebrate these things, don't we? We celebrate a lot of things. This morning, Isaiah and Raven come in. They're engaged. Praise be to God. He that findeth a wife find a good thing. I like, get them married young. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can clap. That's a victory, because it's two saved people. She ain't engaged to some lost boy that we got to beat up. You know what I'm talking about? She's not engaged to some thug that we got to jump. You know what I mean? But she's engaged to a nice young man that's saved and loves the Lord and is living for the Lord. And so they're going to get married, and praise be to God for that. Amen? Amen. That's a victory. When one of my sheep gets into a good situation, I say, praise be to God. That's a victory. That's a victory. Hey, listen. We got these 5 pregnant families right now. Well, 5 pregnant women and 5 dads biting their nails. But I was talking to my main man, Elijah, in the nursery this morning. I said, you have a baby sister? He said, yeah. Now, I can't believe much of what he says, because I asked him what he had for Thanksgiving. I named every food, and he said he didn't have any of it. So I was like, I know that your parents aren't starving you. I was like, then his mom walked by and said he had a ham, and he was like, I think he was dreaming about ham. I think he was literally in the nursery dreaming about ham this morning. And I don't blame him, because you know me, I ate everything on the pig but the snout. You know what I'm talking about? I said, come on, bring it on here. Praise the Lord and pass the pork chops, the ham hocks, the feet. I eat all that. You say, that's nasty, Pastor. You fry or pickle them feet, boy, I'll eat them up. Delicious. As much as I hate human feet, if you fry a pig's feet, I will eat them. Pastor, we ain't going to have no foot washing service. No, but we could have pig feet after the service if anybody is wanting to fry them up. Praise be to God in heaven. But you know what? I when those little babies are born, we celebrate them now. We have a baby shower next week. We're going to celebrate that. When that baby crosses the matrix, as the Bible says, and this is one of the greatest joys of being the pastor, get to go over there to the hospital, you know, and they say, who are you? Are you family? I'm the pastor. Come on back. And they said, would you like to hold the baby? Oh, yes, please. The baby starts to cry. It's a great blessing. It's a great blessing. You mean I ain't got to take it home or feed it or diaper it, but I get to hold it? This is the best thing ever. This is how you become Uncle Pastor Bryson. You give it back. Amen. But you know, we're going to celebrate, aren't we? That's a victory. Because what did it just say? Because God's brought a life. That's why we celebrate life. That's why we believe what we believe. The Bible says, choose ye this day, death or life. The Bible says, choose ye life. That's why we accept that. It's a victory. But man, I tell you why we celebrate Christmas, because inside of the Savior, there is victory. There is a real victory in Jesus. It's not just a great song. It's the first song we ever sang when Assurance Baptist Church began. There's a reason why. Because of all the things that Jesus brings, it's all wrapped up in victory. Death? Oh, that's right. Jesus has victory over it. Yeah. Grave? Oh, that's right. Jesus has victory over it. Hurt, pain, sickness, this, that, fighting. Jesus has victory over it all. See, I like victory. See, I know y'all because you're a sinful people just like me. And had Ohio State won yesterday, there would be a lot more scarlet and gray in this place. Oh, yeah. Just be honest. Some of y'all would have came in this morning with your Buckeyes gear on, and you would have been proudly proclaiming it and said, we're the victors. But now that the last 4 years, I mean, that's a whole high school education, a whole bachelor's degree. You ain't won a game. Now people talking about, yeah, I got red on. No, this is for Christmas. This ain't Ohio State. This is a Christmas. This is, I don't know nothing about that. Praise be to God because we got a sanctified congregation. We don't have no Michigan fans in here. And so nobody came here acting a fool. Nobody that we had to lock up or do anything to. We wouldn't do anything violent, but perhaps a noogie or a few subtle slaps or, you know, something. Nothing crazy here. If you're a Steelers fan, hold your peace. And we'll talk about 4 o'clock, and I'll see how I feel about you then. But at that point in time, then we'll have a conversation. And if the Bengals win, I'll let you know that we are victorious. If the Bengals lose, don't talk to me. And because we like victory. You know why I like Christmas? Let me tell you this. Christmas is a defeat for my wallet. I'm losing when it comes to money being spent at Christmas time. You say, Pastor, well, you are like, you get to control that. Have you, Miss Chandra, she had all the Christmas presents in March. You know, have you met Karen? She had them all in April. I'm like, what's this under the bed? Those are Christmas presents. It's April! Did we forget to give them to them last Christmas? No, these are for this. It's a loss to my wallet. I mean, the Amazon man, he might as well just live at our house. He never passes my house. Sometimes I'd be sitting out front just waiting to see if he's going to the neighbor. No. Just stop. And he's so comfortable with us, he parks in our driveway. He just come all up in the driveway, park. He's like, well, this family here, I'm like, it's a loss to my wallet. You know what Christmas time is? It's a loss to my time. At Christmas time, the hustle and bustle of things in the grocery stores and everywhere else you go, it is a loss of our time because it's going to take you more time to get from point A to point B to do the things you want to do. It's a loss of your time. I'm losing all that stuff. You know what? Sometimes Christmas can cause people, hopefully not you, but a loss of their testimony. Get together with your family and Uncle Jimmy ain't acting right. Uncle Jimmy came over here and he's off the sauce. And you're like, Uncle Jimmy, every time you come over here, you got to act a fool. It's Christmas. Let's please not act like that. And so now we got family turmoil. Or here, somebody doesn't show up. Somebody doesn't want to be there because somebody's mad at somebody else or there's some kind of family drama. It can cause a loss with the relationship, can it? Man, I'll tell you what. I remember this old boy broke up with this girl at Christmas time. I said, you dog. He said, I broke up with her because I don't want to have to buy her a gift. Boy, it can cause a loss of relationship, you scurvy dog. But in the Christmas formula, there's only victory. And it comes through the name of Jesus Christ. All of you that can testify and be witness of this morning, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, you know this. There's only one Savior.
Yeah.
Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation. Neither is there this soteria in any other, for there is none other name. There's none other. I'm the only God given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. In the Bible there, if you don't know the context, they're talking of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There's only one God in this formula. There's only one Lord in this formula. There is only one Savior in this formula. And back to Isaiah, If you believe that today in this one God, and you believe that we celebrate Christmas in this formula because of that, then the Bible says, and ye are my witnesses of this. Hey, listen, nobody's going to know who your Savior is because you wear green and red. Nobody's going to know who your Savior is because you have a tree up. Nobody's going to know who your Savior is because you've decorated your house pretty and all those things are okay. They're going to know who your Savior is because of how you respond to your God, who is your Lord, who is your Savior, and by how you witness in your lifestyle, in your words, in your thought, in the process of your personal formula. That's how people will know who our God is. This Christmas, the Christmas formula is wrapped up in the God who is man. But if you believe that today, then you're the witnesses of that today. When you go out into the aisles and somebody cuts in front of you, allow them to have it. It's not a big deal because your witness is bigger than what you're about to buy. When somebody cuts you off trying to get to the Christmas dinner and try to get there before you, don't get mad and show them your two turtle doves on your hands. Not necessary. Allow them to have it, because your witness is much bigger than that. When somebody in your family begins to cause drama or act a fool, you remove yourself from the situation and just love them anyway. Amen. Because your Christmas formula is much bigger than that. Oh, I'm going to partake in the eggnog. Oh, I'm going to partake in the caroling. I'm going to partake in the gift giving, and praise be to God, the gift getting. But I'm going to partake in witnessing and celebrating my Savior much more, because he's my God, he's my Lord, and he's my Savior, the God who is man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, we come to you humbly asking that now, if it would be your will, Lord, that there be one this morning that